Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. I'm C.A. Brooks, and you are listening to the Friday Morning Show here on 1-2 Radio, where we always talk about A Course in Miracles. And so I've been thinking about this for, 2 years? And I'm really thinking in 2019 we need to change the name of the show, probably just to A Course in Miracles. I keep trying to think of some clever little ditty that we could use, but, you know, I just keep thinking it's just real basic. And if other people are looking for a show on A Course in Miracles on 1-2 Radio, they probably aren't landing on the Friday Morning Show. So I think I'm going to quit being so stubborn about it and just change the name of it. But if anybody has any great ideas, please let me know. But today, if you're listening live, this is December 7th. And on today's show, we are talking about A Course in Miracles workbook for students with my guest, Susan Dugan. And specifically, we're going to look at workbook lesson 105, which I think is incredibly timely this time of year. God's peace and joy are mine. Now, it's not only about peace and joy, but this lesson talks a lot about giving and receiving and gifts in general. And it draws a really nice distinction between what we consider to be the gifts of the world or the gifts of the body, the gifts of the ego, versus what the true divine gifts are that are always ours, which of course are peace and joy. So that's what we're going to be talking about. And if you'd like to join me and Susan in the chat room over on Facebook, you can find us by going to 12radio.com. Click on the chat link and you'll be redirected to a private group. So you can do that and ask a question, make a comment. I'll try to keep an eye out over there. So let me get Susan on the air. And Susan, many of you know, she's here always the first Friday of the month. And she is a teacher and a facilitator of A Course in Miracles, and she's also an author. She's written 3 books on forgiveness, among many, many other things, including blogs. She does interviews with people that are known in A Course in Miracles community, and she posts those on her own website, which is forays.com. I will post that in the chat room later, but I hope that you will make sure you check out Susan and all that she is doing. So, Susan, welcome, and thanks for the suggestion for today's show.
Oh, thanks. It's great to be here, as always.
Yeah, and as I was looking at this lesson, I thought, man, it really couldn't be any more timely.
I know, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I mean, honestly, I've read this lesson, you know, I've been through the workbook too many times to tell.
Right.
But I was really just thinking about the subject of joy when I contacted you and you know, had looked at different references in the course, and there's a lot of them, but this lesson kind of jumped out at me, and then I was really surprised that it also contained so much about gifts, as you were saying, and about the world's idea of giving versus the truth of what giving is, you know, as part of God, as part of our true self and awareness of our true self. So I thought it was so reassuring at this time of year, especially when we're, you know, just sort of on autopilot a lot of times, just trying to keep up with this expectation to give in form and, you know, which can be very guilt inducing in itself. And we'll talk about that. But you know, it really puts people under a tremendous amount of pressure. And I was noticing myself this year, because we're doing it a little differently. We're going to my daughter's in Seattle for Christmas, and which we've always done it here, and I've always done the whole big deal, and we're also trying to sell our house, and we've been thinking about downsizing. And so as a result of all of that, you know, I've really pared down what I'm doing in our own house and our own you know, ideas of gift giving to each other with my husband and I and so forth. And it's been so freeing, you know.
Yeah.
And it also gave me time to really think about, well, what is joy? You know, where does joy come from? What is, when we say the words from Christmas carols of comfort and joy, and you know, we're all supposed to have these warm and fuzzy feelings about each other and Jesus and this time of year. But what really is that about? Where does real joy, what is real joy, and where does it come from? And this lesson is so beautiful about really reminding us that we are joy. Joy is one of the characteristics of God's teachers in the teacher's manual, and it's what we really are as in that undifferentiated union as part of God. It's the true self that we have forgotten, deliberately forgotten, in our belief that we separated from the story we've told ourselves, that we separated from that oneness, joined as one of our true nature that is all loving all the time, forever. And so we're constantly seeking in the world to try to make up for that lack that we feel within as believing that we're apart from God, and we can never quite fill it. We just keep trying and trying, and all the giving to get that we do in the world, which is really, the gifts that we give in form sort of come with a price, The price is part of our special relationship bargain that now you have to give back to me in some form. And it never really, it's guilt inducing on both sides. And this isn't to say that we don't give gifts or we don't do the normal things that people do at Christmas. I mean, it can be a very nice tradition as long as we're not investing ourselves in it, because when we do, and when we are giving in a way that is in somehow expecting or trying to, get rid of some feeling of obligation that we have, then it isn't a joyful thing. And it's actually, it's hurtful to what we are. And so I thought this lesson was wonderful as a reminder that we can step back and maybe give ourselves the gift this Christmas, this season, always, but especially during a time when this is so sort of in our face, this idea of giving and receiving. And just sort of look at this lesson and take 5 minutes, as he's saying here, to remember that, the joy that we're really trying to get back in touch with is so much greater than we know. And it's in everyone's interests, including our, the best gift we can give ourselves and our loved ones is to accept the true joy of our nature, and that includes everyone in its embrace. There's an exercise later in this lesson that is another forgiveness visualization, wherein we're asked to look at someone that we find difficult to love in our lives, and to really see them differently through the light of what we share, what we are, the gift that we are, and that when we are able to orient ourselves back and align back with that memory of wholeness in our mind that the Course talks about as Jesus, Holy Spirit, then we open to the joy that is available to all hearts, and the innocence that, that's the real gift is the memory, the return to awareness of our universal innocence, which the world is always fighting against, is always giving evidence has gone, to the belief that we have somehow destroyed that. So anyway, I've talked a lot about some of those themes, but that's, that's where we kind of launch on this lesson and the direction that this lesson is going.
Mm-hmm. Well, and kind of jumping to the end, that was one thing that really was notable to me, is that as we get to that part of this lesson, which is this is what you need, this is what you do today, is think about some person that you consider to be an enemy.
Yeah.
And, some person that you feel like you're not in accord with. Mm-hmm. And think about the ways that you have withheld love. You have withheld your forgiveness. You have withheld, and know that you're withholding from yourself.
Absolutely.
And I thought, that's just such a good reminder that, once again, if we believe that we're all one, and of course, in many ways we don't, but if we are truly all one, every single time we decide to judge another person, to withhold from another person, whether it's a smile, it's affection, it's love, whatever, that decision to treat them as separate, that decision to withhold is withholding from ourselves.
Absolutely, yeah.
And if only we could remember that.
Right. And really, of course, that's the course's formula. You know, I mean, the way that we discover the gift of our innocence, which we've denied ourselves in the, you know, the alternative reality that we've made up, the way that we discover that through the course's path is always in relationship, is always by changing our mind about our brother, you know, mm-hmm. is always about withdrawing our projection, our belief that you're the cause of my suffering, you know, that you're the guilty one. You're the reason that I can't have the gifts of God, you know.
Right.
And so, and we don't really, you know, the Course is so beautiful in the way that it just keeps steering us back to that very simple practice. That's the only thing that we're asked to do in this course. It's always the same, you know, this time of year and every day, every moment is to catch ourselves, you know, condemning mm-hmm. someone, blaming someone else for whatever we seem to be feeling, or denying us some kind of, you know, something that we want, and really, you know, attributing an external cause, which usually has a face behind it, to why we can't be happy right now, why we can't be at peace right now, why
right.
we can't be joyful. And so, you know, it's always about simply just saying, oh, you know, there I go again, I'm wrong. And it's, you know, it becomes, but through this practice, we learn over time through consistent application and making this the new purpose of our lives as we go about doing the normal things we have to do in this world. You know, we discover that's the only decision that will bring me peace. You know, there's nothing in the world that I can do or get or achieve or manipulate that ever brings me any lasting peace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It always comes at a price, and the price is always is always peace of mind, and is always guilt. The return of guilt, it never goes away. My attempts to get rid of the guilt by seeing it in someone else, it just increases the sense of guilt within me. It does the opposite of what it's meant to do. And so, so it is a great gift to ourselves to remember this Christmas that that's all this is ever about. And, you know, as we go about, feeling the feelings that come up when we're spending a lot more time than usual, maybe with our families and you know, our special relationships and you know, under the stress of the holidays that have us, many of us, eating too much and not sleeping enough and, you know, engaging in sort of a frenetic social schedule sometimes. But to just you know, to remember that at any moment we can recommit to our purpose, that which, you know, is summed up beautifully in the Christmas chapter, in chapter 15 in the text, at the end of which it talks about how we need to make this year different, this as we close the year, to vow to make our new year about, you know, the Christ being born within us, make it different by making it all the same, by including everyone, applying this to everyone that we've denied the gift of innocence,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that is what will bring us the great gift of peace of mind and joy of spirit that is our birthright, that is our inheritance, that is born again in us through that symbol of the true child of God that we share, that we are, you know.
Yeah. Well, and what I was thinking in a really pragmatic level is sometimes when I'm talking to people about a course, or when I'm just talking to them in general, and maybe I'm not even saying I think this is course stuff or whatever, and talking about relationships and how we give to get and how relationships are always a bargain, I always feel like I am a cynic. Because, you know, I think in the world's eyes, I'm like, you know, what am I saying to them? Yeah, every relationship is just one big bargain. And so don't delude yourself about what's going on here. And yet, when I read a lesson like this, I think this in this time of year, it just makes it so obvious whether we want to deny that's true or not. It just becomes so obvious. I mean, I think about many of the conversations I've had just in the last couple weeks about gift giving. And in some ways, it's just so funny. I mean, it's just like it's a perfect little play or, you know, it's a little skit going on stage because we're going back and forth on who to give gifts to and who not to give gifts to and what the message is if we give a big gift versus a little gift and also about fairness. I mean, there's been a lot of discussion about, well, don't open that package in front of so-and-so because then they'll think that I like you more than I like them. And even though I do like you more than I like them, you know, we don't want to bring that up. And I mean, just all of it. And I don't want to get too specific, but you know, it just raises, I mean, it's just a perfect little demonstration of, and as you said, it just creates such stress because it's a really hard walk to continually balance out. I need to give to Susan what she's giving to me, whether or not that's amount of time or whether it's a gift or whatever. And what if I, you know, if I get those scales out of balance, what's going to happen? And, you know, it's a dance. It takes so much of our energy.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. And I mean the truth is, CA, that it's part of a cynical thought system.
Well, it is.
You know, I mean there really isn't. I mean, it gets tricky. I don't talk to people who aren't course students usually about the course because there's no way that, you know, that can really be understood unless you're seriously embarking on this path. This path is unusual in how it puts its emphasis on special relationships and tries to uncover the true nature of what's, you know, the ego dynamics that are at work there. And so that part of the course is not for everyone, you know, but the content, the content of innocence that we're all seeking, the content of the stress that you're talking about, the pressure, I think everybody, whatever their path, feels. And so, you know, it's really about, you know, becoming, as we go about whatever decisions we make, which changing the purpose of what we're doing and letting that be in the, you know, for us, that for people that are following A Course in Miracles, that this is your spiritual path. And it's not the only one. It doesn't say it is, you know, but for course students, the path back is to use this, the pressures that come up this time of year you know, at any time of year in relationship to get us back, you know, to recognize our choice for the ego, the giving to get of the ego thought system, and to bring us back gently to our right mind and say, you know, I am getting caught up in this right now. And I am, you know, I've chosen the ego right now because I'm making this very real about, you know, what, about who's going to be checking off the boxes of who gave what and all of that, you know, giving meaning to something that ultimately is meaningless. And, you know, if it's not something that would concern our inner teacher that sees us all as the same and as equally loved, then it's meaningless. Right. And we're told again in the course, again and again and again, that it's meaningless. So it doesn't mean that we stop giving gifts, but, you know, first we have to become right-minded again and recognize that the greatest gift that we give each other is the gift of forgiveness, and that's really all we're asked to give. And anything beyond that, you know, we can give with gentleness and with kindness. If we have the resources to do it, we'll do it. If we don't, we don't. And it's no big deal. We're not caught up anymore. I mean, the only way to be peaceful is when we do move to that right-minded place above the battleground in which we're, you know, we're not caught up in the drama of the ego's giving to get. You can't be in it, you know? and so this season gives us constant opportunity, you know, to really see that at work in a very, perhaps more frequent way than we usually do have the opportunity to see it, which is great news because the ego thought system survives in concealment. I have to be able to see how painful my choice for the ego is. And I have to see that I'm choosing it. And the only way I know that I've chosen it is when I'm feeling stressed, when I'm feeling anxious, when I'm caught up in the fray of all of these meaningless decisions, you know, that's my indication to say, and I think it's coming from outside pressure. I think it's because of what the rules of my family or the dynamics of my marriage or the dynamics of my relationship with my kids or whatever it, or my office or whatever it is, you know, and to just kind of be able to step back and say, oh, I'm choosing that, you know, I'm choosing that so that I can be the innocent victim again. That's always why we're choosing it. And you know, it's not real. It's not true. Everyone here, no one's guilty here. Everyone here deserves the gift of peace and joy. And if I'm, you know, not feeling that in this process, then that's my choice.
Right.
You know?
Well, and you know what I was kind of thinking, and I hope this isn't too much of an aside, but I read a blog by somebody, it's called David at Raptitude. And I always think his stuff is very provocative and I really like it. And this week he wrote a blog and it's something about how to enjoy your life or something like that. Mm-hmm. But he brings up this idea and somehow it does play into this of he said, you know, we tend to think that we spend so much of our lives doing what we don't want to do so that we can have those few moments of leisure or those few moments of vacation, those few moments of, oh, this is what I want to do. And he said, but why can't we just find joy? He said, in most activities that we, you know, that take up 80 to 90% of our day, he said, most of them really aren't that unpleasant. And he said, so why can't we derive a pleasure out of like making the bed and smoothing the pillowcase, you know, really feeling what does it feel like to touch those sheets and they're so soft or the comforter or whatever. He said, so many of what we do, we just get into this mindless, you know, mindset of this is a chore, this is a burden, this is work, instead of just saying, you know what, the components really aren't that negative. The components really aren't that, you know, that, you know, other than maybe taking out the garbage, it's not that bad of a job to do. And he said, so why do we settle for being basically unconscious or spending 80% of our days doing things that we perceive we're only doing them because we have to?
Right.
And I kind of think, you know, this, just like you said, every day, every moment, it's always about a choice. And, you know, we don't have to go on autopilot and think, oh, well, I'm happy or I'm joyful or I'm peaceful in the morning when I'm doing a meditation or when I'm doing lesson 105 in A Course in Miracles. But then I'm going to spend the whole rest of my day doing all these things that either are not the spiritual me or are all these things that I just have to do to get by, instead of seeing that we can be that divine presence. We can be making those choices every single moment to be kind or to offer love or forgiveness or whatever.
Right. And the Course gives such a beautiful answer for why we don't do that. because we don't want to. We want to be the innocent victim of all these responsibilities thrust on us from the outside. And so there's a little gleeful part of our ego that says, you know, here I go again.
Yeah.
You know, look at me. I am just, you know, I give and give and give and give. And what do I get? Right.
Right.
And you know, all of us are doing that. So the Course is so beautiful in the way it exposes the motivation that we're not aware of behind all of this. And it's not coming from an evil place. It's coming from a frightened place. It's coming from the belief that guilt is real. And we have to spend all of our waking hours trying to prove that, yes, we do exist at God's expense, but it's not my fault.
It's, right.
You know, it's this person and this person and this person and this person that I have to give to or I'm responsible for, or, you know, whatever, or this situation or this situation. And you know, we're not aware that there's part of us that loves that.
Right.
Because we think it's our salvation. And so the truth is, yes, in any moment, making the bed or you know, wrapping a gift or buying a gift or, you know, giving a donation or whatever it is, whatever activity we're engaged in at any moment, we can go through peacefully, mm-hmm. not making it a big deal, not making it an obligation. But we can only do that if we've chosen if we, the decision, you know, as part of the decision-making mind, which is what we really are from the Course's perspective, not these separate selves, if we're willing to see, oh, there I go again, choosing the ego. This is my choice. I don't want it anymore. It's painful. You know, I could see peace instead of this now, in this moment. And that's, you know, that's what the whole practice of the Course is about, that recognizing right now, am I peaceful?
Right.
And where, you know, what am I saying is destroying my peace right now? Why can't I be happy right now?
Mm-hmm.
The answer to that question is, oh, you know, will always be something that we think is out of our control, and it's a lie.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what I love too, in fact, I told somebody this just yesterday, what I like also is that I want to go into that place of analyzing, what's making me unhappy? Why am I not at peace? Why is this? Rah, 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 rah. Whereas the truth is, when I remember that all I need to say is, I'm not at peace, I don't feel happy, there must be a better way to think about this, help me find it, then I don't have to worry so much about the mechanics of it.
Right.
I don't have to, you know, in fact, you know, I go back to, I'm a Catholic school kid, and we diagrammed sentences over and over and over and over, you know. I mean, that was just my life. And I'm thankful as a writer that I did all of that analysis and diagramming of sentences. But it also carries over into my life that I think I have to figure everything out. And you know what? This is a world of insanity. I'm never going to figure it out. It doesn't make sense. You know, you can't diagram it into logical pieces. And when I remember, I don't have to do that. I just have to identify, no, this isn't the way I want to feel. This doesn't feel good. And there is another way. Then just, oh, you know, in other words, I have to remember that I made a mistake. And,
yes.
You know, and that mind that made the mistake can kind of turn off and allow the right mind to just say, here's your answer. You know, and you don't have to figure it out, CA. You don't have to know all the little ins out, you know, ins and outs and logical sequences. All you have to do is say, I don't want this. There must be another way. I was mistaken. Show me another answer. Show me another way.
Right. And it's the consistent practice of that that makes it much less mechanical. It just becomes integrated into your thoughts, you know, into the way you approach everything.
Right.
It becomes very automatic. I mean, you can't, I really can't go very long at all, you know, minutes of feeling distress that I'm not aware, at least. It doesn't mean I necessarily want to let it go, but I'm
right.
Not sure that it's a choice I'm making. And it's a choice that's coming from fear and guilt. And, you know, the Course is just, the more you practice this, the more automatic that becomes. And just that recognition opens the door to the teacher that's already there, the awareness that's already there, that, you know, no one's guilty here. There's nothing.
Right.
That peace is right here. You know, can I read a little bit of this?
Yeah. Well, you know, you can go ahead. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Where do you want to start? Do you want to start at the beginning or somewhere else?
I think maybe I will, because I think you probably need to establish the idea of it, but
okay.
It's so paragraph one. And this is, again, is lesson 105. God's peace and joy are mine. God's peace and joy are yours. Today we will accept them, knowing they belong to us, and we will try to understand these gifts increase as we receive them. They are not like to the gifts of the world, or to the gifts the world can give, in which the giver loses as he gives the gift. The taker is the richer by his loss. Such are not gifts, but bargains made with guilt. The truly given gift entails no loss. It is impossible that one can gain because another loses. This implies a limit and an insufficiency. So he's talking about, on the level of truth, it's impossible, you know. But
mm-hmm.
If we change the thought system on the level that we seem to experience, we imagine ourselves experiencing in our dream every day, it always seems like, you know, giving leads, you know, if we give something to someone, we have less of it, right?
Right.
We have a little less money for what we pay for it, or we have a little less food for what we, you know, whatever, because that's the way that we made up the world to be. Again, because their guilt is real, and we have to, you know, and lack is real because of what we really did to God.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's such a nice dichotomy between God and divinity and the world. The world, by definition, is a trade-off or a lack. It's limited. I've got this much money, and I will trade it for this thing, and then I will give that thing to you. Everything in the world, the material world, is not just ever abundant, even though I think we have representations of it. But for the most part, there's a limited amount. There's a limited number of leaves on the tree or a limited number of dollars in the bank. Whereas, you know, there's a striking difference when we're talking about divinity. You can't give away all your love. You know, you're channeling an infinite source of love. You can't give it away. And then I run out, I reach into the bag and there's no more left.
Right. It just constantly generates, you know, it constantly extends, the course says, right?
Well, so right.
It grows. It just constantly grows. And again, that's eternal. That's in the eternal present. That's something that is opposite in every way to the world we made up. We made up a world that is in opposition to God. You know, God is one. The world is a gazillion, you know.
Right, right.
And is constant duality and ever-increasing duality. You know, God is all innocent. We are constantly trying to prove our greater innocence or relative innocence versus the guilt, the original guilt that we come in with and mm-hmm. can never really get rid of, you know? So it's just, and so yes, everything here is limited. God is infinitely abundant. The world is constantly, you know, it's not sustainable, right? Nothing really lasts. Even the physical world wears away, right?
Right.
It's worn down by the forces of nature. It's, you know, everything here takes its toll, is ultimately mortal.
Right.
Know? So, yeah.
So I was going to say, I'll read the second paragraph.
Yes, perfect.
So no gift is given thus. Such gifts, and that's in quotes, are but a bid for a more valuable return, a loan with interest to be paid in full, a temporary lending meant to be a pledge of debt to be repaid with more than was received by him who took the gift. This strange distortion of what giving means pervades all levels of the world you see. It strips all meaning from the gifts you give and leaves you nothing in the ones you take. And see, that's what I meant. I mean, you know, that is so rich with no matter what we think our good intentions are, we're always bargaining. You know, I will give you this because I want your love. I want your appreciation. I want your recognition. I want your approval. You know, if we really look into ourselves, we recognize that that's exactly what we're doing. And there again, I'm not saying don't give gifts. In fact, I always think it's sad when somebody says, let's not exchange gifts.
Right. They're fine.
You know, it feels kind of sad to me. But you know, if we just were a little more aware of you know, the difference between, you know, what you kind of said it, love extends, God extends, but we make. And we make things that have a expiration date.
Right. And come with a price, right?
Yes, yes.
That's the way, honestly, if we're really honest with ourselves and we really look at our thought processes, and especially, you know, I mean, I remember back to times when, you know, early in the course or even pre-course, I mean, it's very, very normal for people to re-gift. It's very, very normal for people to think about, well, you know, they gave, like what you were saying, this is what they gave us last year, so we need to give something of equal value. This or I really am going to need something from this person next year, so I want to make a big, you know, a big flourish with a gift, right?
Uh-huh.
To make sure that, you know, comes back to me. I mean, even the laws of the so-called spiritual laws of, you know, we spiritualize the law of attraction and all those kinds of things of the giving, you know, pay it forward. All of that also involves it coming back to me, doesn't it?
Yes.
You know? And so, or karma, the idea of karma, even, you know, in a negative sense, we if we don't do something, you know, give something, we may be punished for it. You know, it all comes back to that weighing that we do and bargaining. Really, it is a bargaining with the future in our special relationships, you know, it's a giving to get. And it just, the Course is just calling it like it already is.
Right.
You know, it's not, he's, I mean, really, we shouldn't get so defensive about it. We should laugh because this is what we do. And it's, and not only is this what we do, but we stress over it. We lose sleep over it. You know, we overextend our budgets completely over it sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go into the new year in a very, you know, in a very precarious state sometimes. So it's really just to say, you know, what is giving really about? And to bring it back again, you know, can we take a moment to see, you know, what I'd really like to do is to feel innocent, to feel less beholding of everyone and everything around me, to have a moment where I feel like there's enough, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's searching for that. So the beautiful idea of really, you know, where am I withholding love in my life? Because that's where the not enough is coming from.
Yes.
You know? That's always reflecting the not enough that we feel as a result of believing that we pushed real love away and we can never find it again. You know, so that we can give ourselves the gift of opening to the awareness that we are still loved and loving. We're still enough. We're still whole. We're so much more than enough. You know, the frantic giving isn't necessary. The only thing that's necessary is to give ourselves the gift of true forgiveness, you know, and that means changing my mind about where I think it doesn't, you know, who I think doesn't deserve to be forgiven.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Like I said, I think that's a big thing at the end of this lesson is that's really what it comes down to is when we are making all these judgments and decisions about who's deserving, who's not, to just recognize we're doing the same thing to ourselves.
Absolutely. It's only our, who else would there be from the Course's perspective? You know, actually, in its metaphysical grounding, there is no one, but it's only always my own mind I needed healing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with anyone else I've dreamed up. It's
right.
A dream, you know, and so it's always to our benefit to step back and say, what am I really, you know, what am I really doing here? You know, because that giving is pointing a finger very often. You know, I'm giving to you so that you won't hurt me.
Right.
Or that you will give me something that I don't have. And the truth is we have each other endlessly, the love of each other endlessly, because we are one child of God. And that's a seamless union that can never be divided, can never be, you know, taken away from. Can never lose, can never experience the grief that we experience over the unreal belief that we destroyed that love.
Right.
And don't deserve it anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and in paragraph 3, it says a major learning goal this course has set is to reverse your view of giving so you can receive. For giving has become a source of fear, and so you would avoid the only means by which you can receive. Accept God's peace and joy, and you will learn a different way of looking at a gift. God's gifts will never lessen when they are given away. They but increase thereby. So once again, you know, I guess it is, you know, giving to get in some ways, but it's like just recognizing that we're shutting off our own ability to receive the gifts that are worthwhile, peace and joy, every time we make that judgment about who's deserving and who's not. When we hold on to the grievances,
right?
You know, we're only hurting ourselves.
Right. And really just it's just like anything else in the Course, you know, it's about forgiveness. It's really about just catching myself in the act of doing that, you know,
mm-hmm.
some deserve it. Saying that victims and victimizers are different, saying that some deserve the love of God and some don't. Some deserve my love and some don't, you know, and it doesn't mean, I mean, we can't as bodies share our love with everyone in form, but at the level of the mind, if we're excluding one brother, we've damned ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we've cut off, as you were saying, that that memory, that awareness of the source of real love and peace, comfort and joy in our mind. And that's the only thing that's real. And you know, we become, through this consistent application and this consistent practice, more trusting of that is always there, because we have actual experiences of you know, when we've turned away from the ego, of experiencing its you know, loving presence within us. And we know that it includes everyone, because if it's real, it just automatically does. There's no more need to blame, to project, to mm-hmm. part. The only thing that would be arising from that, if someone else is still, you know, acting out in some way in our dream, is the complete compassion for, you know, for their seeming fear, which we know very well, because we're so aware of it within ourselves through this practice.
Right.
And we know that when we're not choosing the ego, we're in hell.
Mm-hmm. Well, and towards the end, it says, today our practice periods will start a little differently. Begin today by thinking of those brothers who have been denied by you the peace and joy that are their right under the equal laws of God. Here, you denied them to yourself, and here you must return to claim them as your own. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's it. It's just so wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. Do we have time to read the next paragraph?
And then... Yes, and then I think we better wrap it up. But yeah, let's read that next paragraph, and then we will make some announcements.
Okay, great. So it goes on to say, think of your, quote, enemies a little while, and tell each one as he occurs to you, my brother, peace and joy I offer you, that I may have God's peace and joy as mine. Thus you prepare yourself to recognize God's gifts to you, and let your mind be free of all that would prevent success today. Now are you ready to accept the gift of peace and joy that God has given you? Now are you ready to experience the joy and peace you have denied yourself? Now you can say, God's peace and joy are mine, for you have given what you would receive. Yeah, so we've included the ones we love to hate.
Yeah, that's right.
Admitted we're wrong. We're wrong about that.
Right.
And there it is. There's the peace and joy and comfort.
Yep. Well, and what a valuable lesson, because I can certainly go through many of the principles of A Course in Miracles and go, okay, I'm checking these off. I'm doing pretty good. But boy, when it comes to that, you cannot exclude one single person from your love. You cannot exclude one single person from forgiveness or from the sonship. The minute you do that, it goes right back to what I love to think of as the Course as, you know, it's a restaurant and everybody's gathering in the bar, but they're not going to sit, you know, seat us at our table till we're all there.
Yeah.
And, you know, and in some ways, heaven or complete joy and peace of mind, etc., it's never ours until we invite every single person. And the minute we're excluding one person, they're not worthy, they're so evil, they've done so many bad things or whatever it is, whether they're a public figure or somebody personal in our lives, as long as we're willing to exclude one single person, or really maybe even one single creature, one single anything,
right,
as long as we're willing to buy into that hierarchy of illusions, then that we're never going to, you know, we're always going to be sitting in the bar, maybe having a good time, but we're never going to sit down. You know, it's not complete until it's complete.
Right. And that may sound like it's too big to ever do, you know, hopeless, because the ego, it's hopeless. But in any moment, it can happen. That's what the holy instant is all about.
Yes.
And you know, in any moment in which I change my mind, I can have an experience in which guilt is gone.
Right.
And it will be gone for everyone. I mean, it has to be that, you know, my changing my mind about the one brother that's in my face at the moment that seems to be the problem is how it automatically, you know, will shift me to that perspective that include that guilt is gone in everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's how we begin to contrast the choices, and we say, wow, you know, this is really painful when I'm choosing to blame. It just hurts.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I was reading something recently, and I can't think of who it was. It might have been Willa Cather, and the novelist, and she said, you know, the idea is to, you know, to forgive and forgive those strangers. She goes, that's not a problem. It's forgiving my friends.
Right. And, forgiving my husband or my kids.
Yeah.
It's the ones, it's those special relationships, right?
Yeah. So I thought, oh my God, you know, no matter where you look, if you're in that mindset, you're going to see all these representations. These are not new ideas, people, you know? So Susan, thank you so much for joining me today and for suggesting Lesson 105. And do you have any quick announcements before we close the show today?
I guess only that the Foundation for A Course in Miracles has moved to Henderson, Nevada, and I just was noticing that I think they are going to be doing some, Jeffrey Siebert is going to be doing some new classes in the new year, so you might want to check that out. They're not going to be streamed yet, maybe eventually, but if anybody's in the Las Vegas area, they're, you know, they're short classes at this point, but there will be some programs next year, so... So that might be something that people want to check out. And in any event, the website remains as a tremendous resource for us all with, you know, filled with Ken's incredibly helpful illuminating work.
So. Oh, nice. Well, and you read my mind, actually, because, you know, I have a lot of family in Las Vegas, and I had been making plans with my sister to go. And even though I don't have the exact date yet, it's pretty much set. But I was thinking I've got to drive out to Henderson. In fact, I had looked how far is Henderson from Las Vegas. And it's not far. But you know what was kind of funny is when I first asked the question, I Googled or asked, you know, Siri or whoever, it came back and it said 665 miles. And I'm like, oh my God, how could it possibly be? It was from here. You know, I'm like, no. Look at the question. I said from Las Vegas. So it's right there. But I definitely have to go out there when I go to Las Vegas. And I'm thrilled to know that they're doing classes because maybe I can actually go to one and see the family too. So Susan, thank you so much. And thanks for that announcement. And of course, I did post Susan's blog or her website, 4asinforgiveness.com, in the chat room. I will also put the Foundation for A Course in Miracles, which is www.facim.org. I'll post that one there as well. So, Susan, thank you very much, and I will talk to you soon. And everybody, thank you for listening today. And thanks to our producer, Scott Weaver, and I hope that you will keep it tuned for more live programming here on 1-2 Radio. You have been listening to the Friday Morning Show with C.A. Brooks and with my guest, Susan Dugan, on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way you think about giving and receiving.